Tomorrow, using a pair of scissors. So, it's established also to use a pair of scissors to remove hair. This is a narration of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And he said, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu informed him that he, that is Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, had trimmed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hair on Mount Marwa, meaning that the sa'i just finished off, start on Safa and end on Marwa. So it was already the correct time to come out from Ihram. So he used a scissors, a pair of scissors, to trim the hair or to cut the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the riwayat of Muslim Sharif. Note, trimming the hair with a scissor cannot be considered to be contrary to the sunnah, on condition that the length of the hair is standard. This is standard. We cannot say that all the hair must be the same length. Is that possible? The hair in front won't be the same length as the hair in the back. So it's a standard length where you can see that the hair is all normal, not that now one side or the more than one side is shorter than the other side. That's now called qaza. In Arabic, Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prevented us from that type of hairstyle. Naha Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam anil qaza'i. That way is absolutely two lengths of hair, and that is not in accordance to the sunnah, which has become a fashion statement nowadays, two lengths hair. The trimming the hair with a scissor cannot be considered to be contrary to the sunnah condition, but the length of the hair is standard. The English method of having unequal lengths of hair is not permissible in Islam. Honoring one's hair. As Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever has hair should honor it. This is a riwayat, he should honor his hair, meaning take care of it. As Abu Qatada radiallahu ta'ala anhu informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he had long hair, and he inquired if he should comb it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, honor it. Honor your hair and comb it, keep it neat and tidy. A narration mentions that he would sometimes oil it twice a day due to the directive of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that honor your hair. So twice a day he would oil the hair to keep it neat. Note, Muladi Qali rahmatullah alayhi has written that honoring the hair includes keeping it clean, combed and oiled. It should not be unkept or unoiled. This is when a person has the thick growth of hair. And Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahimullah would mention also that the rites of hair upon a person are three. One is taghseel, to wash the hair, tadheen, to oil the hair, and tamshid, to comb the hair. But this is a job for a person now. Therefore, he would say students of these should keep absolutely short hair, but they don't have time for all of this. Hence, it would be permissible to comb the hair as many times as necessary in order to keep it neat and tidy. It is prohibited to keep disheveled hair and dry hair. So Ata bin Yasar rahmatullah alayhi narrated that a person with disheveled hair and a disheveled beard walked into the sacred Masjid al-Nabawi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated to him to arrange his hair. He returned a few moments later with neat and tidy hair. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is it not better to have one's hair neat and well arranged instead of walking about with disheveled hair like a devil? Because it gives the person size. So, must be neat and tidy. This is the right of the hair also, that you keep it neat and tidy. The Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhuma narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a person with unkept hair and remarked, can you not afford that? Can you not afford that? That is oil. Can you not afford oil with which he could neaten his hair? It is sunnah to use oil excessively. So Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam frequently applied oil to his head. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would keep a cloth on his blessed head, and this became like an oil cloth due to the excessive amount of oil applied. Meaning that he should wear a piece of cloth under the topi also. So the piece of cloth used to take the oil into it, so the topi doesn't lose its color and doesn't get, so to say, messed with the oil. In order to ensure that the hat, the headgear and turban remain clean, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept a piece of cloth between it and his blessed hair, and this would draw the excessive oil into it. is related about Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who would apply oil twice daily. Not using oil excessively is a sunnah. So he also, when it comes to usage of oil, our elders say that the person should see to his health also and to use the correct oils in the correct seasons. For example, in summer, a person can use coconut oil because it's cool. In winter, he'll use badam oil because it's warm and it's hot. And in between, depends on his tabiat, his nature, he can use olive oil, which is neutral. So they say a person should see his temperament and the season also. Shouldn't be that he uses coconut oil in winter, then he gets sick. It's too cold for the head. So this is all mentioned also in kitabs, and we should ask ulama ikram accordingly how we should use the oil, and most of the narrations come in here also. Then the sunnah method of applying oil, how to apply the oil also. The Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever applies oil should commence with the eyebrows. Should first start with the eyebrows, as this wards off headaches. So the tartib and the method will be that he pours the oil in his left palm, and then he takes his index finger and he dabs it, and then over his right eyebrow, and then over the left eyebrow. So that is a sunnah, he will start from there. So this wards off headaches. So Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah narrates that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam applied oil, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pour it into his blessed hand and would thereafter apply to the beard and to the rest of the head. So here we have the eyebrows and then to apply to the beard, right hand side, left hand side, then the head, the right hand side, and then the left hand side. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam applied oil, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa would pour it into his left hand, and he would apply firstly on the eyebrows and then on the rest of the head. The Jabir bin Samura radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa would commence applying oil from the front of the head, from the front. Applying oil without reciting Bismillah, the Naif Qurayshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Naif Qurayshi radiallahu anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever applies oil and fails to recite Bismillah is joined by 70 devils whilst he remains engaged in applying oil to his head. Therefore, any amal we do, we have to learn first what is the sunnah way of doing it. Because by pleasing, by doing the sunnah way, we will attain the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So any amal we do, especially when it comes to the sunnahs, applying oil, applying surma, tying imamah, turban, etc., this all should be done with Bismillah and Durud Sharif. How Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did it, that's why I'm doing it in the same manner. Otherwise it just becomes a habit, a ritual, or sometimes it's a fashion statement also, tying imamah because they look smart. Or whatever it may be, even removing their mustache also, that also is a sunnah. So Bismillah and Durud Sharif. So whoever applies oil and fails to recite Bismillah is joined by 70 devils whilst he remains engaged in applying oil to his head. This is a riwayat of Ibn Sunni. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that sometimes she would comb Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's hair while she was experiencing menstruation. So combing one's hair, she would comb the hair of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And this was, what you will say, contrary to the habit of the Jews. For the Jews, part of their belief system was that when a woman was in her menses, then she was regarded to be impure and napaha. So they wouldn't eat with the wife, they wouldn't sleep with her also, separate room, separate utensils, everything separate, because they regarded her to be absolutely impure and dirty. So she wouldn't come near them also, no intermingling, no touching, nothing whatsoever. And that was one extreme. Therefore, our deen Islam is absolutely moderate. So by this amal, this action of Aisha radiallahu anha, we can see that although she was in her menses, then to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, make piyar and muhabbat with her and allowed her to even comb his hair. Note, it is mustahab to comb the hair. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam encouraged us. He would comb his own hair as well. The mas'ala, the ruling, the law gleaned from this hadith is that a menstruating woman can be of service to her husband. It's also understood that it is an honor for a woman to serve her husband and tend to his needs. Such a service would, inshallah, make her entry into Jannah binding. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to min amal and to bring all our amal in according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Should we have a Yasin Sharif? Inshallah, today I'm going to read, inshallah. Marvelous, Surah. You do this. Before we start our Yasin, we just see the virtues. They say with every amal, join the virtue. You see on page 1, it is mentioned the virtue of Surah Yasin. It is related from Hazrat Atha bin Abi Rabah, rahimahullah ta'ala, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever reads Surah Yasin in the beginning of the day, all his needs for that day will be fulfilled. Many virtues of Surah Yasin are mentioned in the hadith. Is narrated one hadith that everything has a heart. And a heart of the Quran is Surah Yasin. Whoever reads Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records for him a reward equal to that of reading the whole Quran 10 times. According to another hadith, he also Allah may explain that you will get the reward of reciting the Quran 10 times. Read Surah Ikhlas 3 times, you get the reward of 1 Quran Sharif. Doesn't mean that he was up with your Quran khatam. Because the reward of Quran Khatam, one is the reward of the amal, and more than that, through the amal I get close to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Qurb, al-qurb, al-taqarrub ila Allah. What is the purpose and the maqsad of the amal for me to get close to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? So by reading Yasin 1 time, we get the reward of 10 Quran Khatam, but you won't get that amount of taqarrub and proximity to Allah that you will get through making Quran Khatam complete. According to another hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recited Surah Yasin and Surah Taha 1,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. From this riwayat, ulama deduce that if 1,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth, and Surah Yasin, when we started Yasin on Quran al-Hakim, إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. So 1,000 years before the creation of the skies and the earth, Allah already mentioned, In laka, O Muhammad, lamina al-mursal, you are among the messengers. And in that time already, Nabi of Allah was given nubuwwat. 1,000 years before the creation of the earth and the skies, he was already given the title of mursal, meaning a messenger. So by then already he was given nubuwwat. On hearing this, the angel said, blessing is for that ummah unto whom the Quran will be sent down. Blessings is for the hearts who will bear it, memorize it, and blessings for tongues which will recite it. The ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how can it be a person doesn't recite Surah Yasin? It's only barakat and blessings upon blessings. But there is another narration which says, whoever reads Surah Yasin for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, all his previous sins will be forgiven. Therefore make a practice of reading Surah Yasin over your dead. According to another hadith, Surah Yasin is named in the Torah as Mun'ima, the giver of good things, because it contains benefits for his readers in this life as well as in the hereafter. It removes from him the affliction of this world and the next, and takes away the dread of the next life. The surah is also known as Rafi'ah and Khafidah, that which exalts the status of the believers and degrades the unbelievers. According to a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my heart desires that Surah Yasin should be present in the heart of every one of my ummah. According to another hadith, if anybody recites Surah Yasin every night and then passes away, he will pass away as a shaheed. Allah will give him the rank of a shaheed to the barakat of the recitation of Surah Yasin. It is reported yet in another hadith that whoever reads it in hunger will be satisfied. The barakat of it, Allah will satisfy him. Whoever reads it while having lost his way will find his way. Whoever reads it on using an animal will find the same. And one reason apprehending that his food will run short, that food will become sufficient. And if one reason besides a person who is in the agonies of death, his agonies will be made easy for him, meaning sakarat. And if anyone reason on a woman experiencing difficulty in childbirth, the delivery will become easy. If Surah Yasin is read by one who fears the ruler or enemy, will have his fears removed. Then the author said, dear reader, Surah Yasin, read Surah Yasin every night. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the person who reads Surah Yasin every night will be pardoned. There will be no hisab kitab for him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the person who reads Surah Yasin every night will die as a shaheed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, all things have a heart. The heart of the Quran is Yasin. The person who reads Yasin once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recall for his reader a reward equal to reading the Quran 10 times. So Surah Yasin also, we can make the intention of Isalu Thawab also. For all the marhumin, starting from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Sahaba Ikram, the scribes of Wahi, the Fuqaha, Tabi'in, Tabu Tabi'in, right through to all our family members inshallah.